Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Lori Monopoly, author of award-winning The Book About Tony Chestnut. At first glance, you'd think that this book is to help children overcome first day at new school, but there's just so much more to it. It's a book that has active participation while aiding children to practice random acts of kindness. It's actually a way of combining literature with real-life experiences. The book about Tony Chestnut won the Reader Views Kids Award for Best Children's Book of the Year, as well as winning a lot of other awards. So obviously you know that this is a really good book. Besides being an award-winning author, Lori is an educational specialist, children's advocate, and founder of The Learning Station, a multi-award children's educational recording and performing company that is actually known globally. Hi, Lori.
Hello.
Well, this is such an exciting time for me to be able to talk to you because this book won an award.
And we are so honored and so thrilled to have this award. Believe me, this is one that means probably, we already have a bunch of awards, five of them, this is number six, but when this one came in, we did this royal dance of joy because you know how much we just totally admire Reader Views and everything about y'all and everything you're doing. So.
Well, thanks. I was really thrilled when I got the notice, too. So this whole thing, it's the book and music, and there's a underlying message, and there's just so much just about Tony Chestnut and about this book and the whole concept. So before we actually get more into it, would you just tell our listening audience the premise of the book and what your intent is?
Tony Chestnut actually is a song that our company, The Learning Station, released in 1997. And we had no clue at that time because there was no internet what was actually going on with that song. Well, that song was going international. And everybody was falling in love with this simple children's song we did, which is actually not a name. It's a play on names. So you point to your toe, your knee, your chest, your is your head, then it goes on with other movements. And we bring in other names with movements, like I lean, where everyone leans, kneel, you kneel, pat, you pat yourself, you get the idea. Well, this flew and went gangbusters. All of a sudden, when internet came about, we started doing searches, and we were finding thousands of videos on YouTube where people are taping themselves performing Tony Chestnut. And it's everything. It's in weddings. Marching bands are performing it. It's not just the little children doing it. It's a children's song. And we already know it's a number one preschool song and kindergarten song for graduation and used in curriculums all over the place. But now these children are growing up and they're still professing their love for this song. So we started getting bombarded with people saying you have to bring Tony Chestnut to life in a book. So basically, that's what we did. We finally gave our audience what they've been asking for, and we gave Tony Chestnut a face and a personality and a character. And the whole premise for the book is really to take that character and introduce him to the world and bring him to life.
Well, you certainly did. And what a great story that, you know, it just went viral without the internet.
Yes. I mean, we had no idea. I mean, it's just a little children's song. I mean, a lot of our songs are very popular, but this one just went viral everywhere. And it's not even just on YouTube. There's blog sites, and if you go into forums, everybody's talking about Tony Chestnut. So that's why we based even everything, our website, it's based on Tony Chestnut, but there you'll find our author's website has everything about the book as well. And Tony Chestnut is a hit, and we even started asking the question, why? And everyone said, because the song makes you smile. And I guess no matter what age you are, sometimes you just need that little song, you know, that makes you smile and that you have fun doing and that you enjoy sharing and you pass it on from generation to generation. So that's pretty much Tony Chestnut in a nutshell. And it's a silly, fun movement. You're doing the movements as you're singing the song. You're not just standing around. So, you know, everybody loves watching people do Tony Chestnut. They love doing it themselves. So we're very excited to have a book now that correlates with that song.
Oh, for sure. Well, I'm just going to read the first two pages of the book, and I'd like to talk about the premise of this. So
okay.
It says, this is a story about a shy boy named Tony Chestnut and his little sister, Eileen. They had just moved to a new house, and today was the first day of their new school.
Yes, that's awesome.
That's awesome. And I was just, sorry, couldn't flip the page.
Yeah.
And so the next page says, Tony Chestnut smiled as he thought about how nice it would be to make some new friends. His little sister Eileen felt sad, and all she could think about was saying goodbye to her best friends, Gracie and Lexi. She thought, who will hold and turn the other end of the jump rope now that I'm gone? And so here we have two kids in one family.
Mm-hmm.
Tony is excited because he's going to meet some new friends. And little Eileen is like, oh, no, I'm leaving my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this devastation in her. And here there are two children. So how do we handle these kids? What do you suggest to parents that what they do when they have a situation like this?
Well, in this case, you know, for example, when we went to do this book, it was very important to me that we had a message in the story. And Tony Chestnut being such a huge character in a song, I wanted to give him a very strong personality in this book. So I decided to make him a hero. And he becomes a hero to his little sister, Eileen. Now, wouldn't we all just want to have an older brother that takes care of us, cares about us so much that, you know, they're there to protect us and come to our rescue in the event that should happen? This is a story that anyone with children and siblings should share because it's something they could talk about as a family. You know, after the story is complete, you could sit the children down and say, what would you do in a situation like this? How can you help out your brother or sister? How would you, you know, and really bring them into their life into the story, which is very important with children's picture books to make them connect with the characters. So we have the two, you know, varying personalities where you have Eileen, who is very scared and frightened, and all she could think about was her old school and her friends. And Tony's a little bit more upbeat. He's kind of looking forward to making new friends. But when they enter into the next phase of the story, you'll see that Eileen really breaks down into tears, and she just won't have this new school yet because she sees all these other children that play, and she's not part of it. They're not inviting her, and this has a dramatic effect on her. And Tony observes this, and each time he sees his sister get more upset, it hurts him. So now you're seeing empathy, concern, and these are emotions that, especially with what's going on with bullying today, we need to get our families and children and parents to talk about this, you know, because we have these feelings and we need to help children express them and talk about what they would do if they were in that situation, because if you look at the odds today, they're going to be placed in that situation and they need to be actually taught how they should react in that situation, even to the point where you play act how you would act in that situation. So this book helps to encourage that type of conversation at home.
So give me some examples of how you encourage parents to, let's say, play act with their kids.
Well, by reading the book at first is a great starting point for that, and then to stop it at certain points on different pages and just focus on that page, the expression on the characters' faces, what's going on, you know, even take it somewhat word by word. And for another thing I've done for parents and educators is I've put online curriculums up for free to help them with thought-provoking questions and things that could, you know, really ignite some good, healthy conversation at home.
And that's great. So let's just, while we're talking about it, what is the website address that people can actually go to right now as they're listening?
We have actually two websites. Our main website, which is the Learning Station, is obviously www.learningstationmusic.com. Then the website for Tony Chestnut, which is also the author's website, and you'll learn everything you could possibly learn about the song as well. It's a really fun website because it's interactive, is tonychestnut.com. So that's an easy one to remember.
So, Lori, you talk about kindness.
Yes.
This is sort of, you know, the underlying of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you feel that kindness is innate or learned?
That's a very good question, Irene. I love that question. Well, for definitely we are born into this world, and I believe this, everybody has been born with a special gift or talent. So part of you as a person, you know, does have some tendency to be possibly kinder than others, and traits that you have, you know, for example, if you're born with a gift to love and nurture and take care of animals. Animal rescuers would be an example of that. But it also, in this day and age, we have to teach it because, you know, we have reading, writing, and arithmetic, those three R's. Well, what about respect? There's too much going on in schools today where children are not demonstrating respect for other children. And if you, you know, watch the news on a daily basis, you're hearing all about it. I come in at a preschool level because that's when you start talking about this stuff with children and you start making it a part of everything they do and everything they say. Kindness doesn't have to be this huge thing where you go out and, you know, rescue an animal. It could be as simple as holding someone's hand when they're sad, showing concern for someone's feelings, helping out, saying thank you, using kind words. So this is what we are trying to get across to, you know, educators and parents, and make it easy for them to easily incorporate it into their children's daily lives. And I do this with my Kindness Count campaign in the curriculum, where they create a kindness tree that actually blooms with each child's kind act, and it goes on from there with extended activities. And we do everything from sign language to science, art, math, and all of it is still founded upon kindness. So, you know, just got to make it a part of your everyday life and your everyday routine. I mean, the whole point, too, is we fill our bucket. We fill our bucket with kindness. From the moment we wake up, we should have in our mind the kind things that we are going to do in some way, shape, or form so our bucket does get full.
Unfortunately, many of the parents, especially if there are two parents that are in a home and they're both working, it's really difficult. But, you know, I so agree with you that a lot of kindness is learned as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as we know, children, they need role models. And if we can be kind to them and to animals or, you know, as you had mentioned, animals or any place else, anything else, even just holding somebody's hand, they learn from us as adults, you know, or parents, which I think, you know, it's a real good point that you just brought up.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I could agree with you 1,000%. We are role models for everything. I mean, even as part of our whole campaign for children for reading, I mean, so many parents come up to me and they say, how do I get my 3-year-old to read? Well, the first thing you have to do is be a role model. They have to see you read. I mean, that is so important in everything we do as parents, as educators. Anyone who touches the life of children, scout leaders, you know, you have to be the role model. They're looking up to you, and you're guiding them, and you're teaching them. Everything you do is sending them a message, and you have to think about that. And that is the foundation pretty much for everything that we do as far as educators as well. So it's a very, very good point.
Also, you know, random acts of kindness, I mean, it's really spreading. There's so much on the Internet, and there's suggestions, and there's random kinds acts of kindness day and so on. But, you know, the bottom line is that act has to be I want to do it, not have to do it. And that's important also to instill into these children. And I'm just wondering how you do that in your program. How do you actually instill to the child that they're going to, it's a want to, you know, I want to do this kindness.
Yes, and you know what the cool thing about that is? All you have to do is set up a program with a child or children, if you could do this in a classroom or at home, where they experience the feeling from being kind, because there is something going on here. There's actual chemistry to this. The endorphins that kick in when you do a kind act are almost like this momentary, incredible high on life, and a child feels that. It's a feel-good feeling. Not only does the person doing the kind act feel it, so does the person receiving the kind act, as does all the people observing the kind act.
Mm-hmm.
It's felt. It's not easily forgotten. I mean, think about it. If you taste an ice cream cone as delicious, do you forget that yummy taste? No, you want another ice cream cone. That's yummy. This feels good. Children will want to repeat it. You just have to get them started. And it's a very simple, easy way to do that by, you know, putting them in a situation where they, you know, are able to be successful, and then it just kind of goes on from there. It's a chain reaction. And then it just goes from one person to the next to the next.
It spreads. it goes viral, really.
Oh, yeah.
Your music CD did.
I mean, we even do that just for fun. We'll get something initiated on Twitter or Facebook, pass it on, and we pass on a kindness. What our kindness for today is call up someone you haven't spoken to for a long time and just tell them you're thinking about them. And then we just spread it, and it goes around. And before you know it, it comes full circle, and we realize we just got a million people to call someone and say hello.
Yeah.
And that person felt good that you called. You felt good, and it just spreads.
It does. It does.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with author and education specialist Lori Monopoly. As you've heard so far, Lori has brought up some really good points, and I encourage you to continue listening. Just as a quick reminder, the website to check out is learningstationmusic.com or tonychestnut.com. So you've given a few acts of kindness that children can do. If somebody's sad, hold their hand, or maybe go to an animal shelter and pet animals. There's just so many other things that they can do, and I'm just wondering what your suggestions are.
Well, there's things they could do in different ways. There are the small things, like in everything you do and say. But then, you know, even people at home, as far as families, they could generate family activities that are supportive of kindness. And that could be as much as gathering the family together and cleaning out the garage, working as a team, helping a neighbor walk their dog or raking their leaves. They could, you know, there's things that you could do as a group, and there's things that you do on your daily basis as an individual that you could encourage. And, you know, I really encourage people to go over to tonychestnut.com and click on the download, because I have a whole list of everything you could possibly imagine, down to collecting blankets and donating them to an animal shelter. It just goes on and on and on. And, you know, we start out with the really, really simple ones, and then it goes from there. But, you know, posting a smile on your refrigerator that, you know, you walk by and everybody else smiles, telling someone you love them. I mean, I tell parents, you know, every day, wake up in the morning and tell your kids you love them.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, things like that, little gestures that you do and should become part of your daily habit, and you realize, oh, that felt good, I'm going to do it again. That felt good, I'm going to do it again. And that will go on and on and on, and that will be shared with your children.
Exactly, and there again, back to what we're talking about, role models. When, as you had mentioned, you know, some of the things that the kids can do, we have a little reviewer that's 6 years old, and she reviews books for us, and her thing is to, when she gathers a whole bunch of books that she's reviewed, she then takes them to the homeless shelter for the kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is awesome, you know, because, and she gives some of her favorite books to them, because she wants to pass it on, and I think that's so important.
Well, that's a definite example of what we were talking about earlier, about how, you know, this child did this at one point. I'm sure an adult had some encouragement or, you know, guided them in that direction, and it felt so good that she had to do it again.
Exactly.
And that's wonderful. That's awesome. And yeah, they're going to be so appreciated where they're going. That is, I couldn't think of a more incredible act of kindness. I think we should have everybody go out and do that right now. gather up your books and bring them to a homeless shelter and share them with these children.
Exactly.
They need these books.
You talked earlier about bullying, and I just wanted to talk about that. There seems to be so much going on with the bullying. Right now, I just saw something on TV. There was I'm here in Austin, Texas, and there was a conference yesterday on cyberbullying.
Yes.
It just seems to be, you know, getting out of hand, really. And I'm just, what are your thoughts? Why? What's happening?
It's not anything new, Irene. Bullying has been around forever.
Yep.
The different, and if we think back into, you know, even my childhood, the bullies were there. The difference is how it was treated as opposed to now. And, of course, the population is larger. And, of course, there's more, you know, ways of making this even more threatening with cyberbullying. And now we're seeing numbers come up, you know, as far as deaths caused by, you know, bullying. So it's become more aware. It's awareness is what we have. I mean, back in the day when I was a kid, truthfully, if you came home and said, I got bullied by someone, your parents calmly said, it'll toughen you up. Well, we're learning that's not true. It's not toughening you up. It's hurting people. It's hurting children. Children are afraid to go to school. Prior to a release we recently did, I did a survey with a bunch of junior high students, and I asked them the simple question, were you ever bullied? And they first started out kind of looking at me like, well, no, not really. Yeah, kind of. And then they opened up, and the stories poured out. There were points that I was near tears. I couldn't believe what they were telling me. I had no clue. I'm an educator, and I work with children. I had no clue this was going on so severely. They were afraid to go to the bathroom because that's where the bullies would get them, you know, cornered zones that were most terrifying, stairways. They didn't eat lunch because that's where they ganged up on them. So this is just, you know, it's wrong, and it needs to be addressed, and we need to get schools involved. We need bully-free zones anywhere children go, including parks, stores, and these signs have to be posted. You know, by the more there's power in numbers, and the more people that do get involved and get active and understand how to react in a situation like this, I think is what we need to educate people. There was a time when even teachers commonly didn't get involved, and now there's a zero tolerance, and that's what's, you know, becoming the new term, and I'm so glad to hear that because there should be zero tolerance. A child should not be afraid to go to school.
Exactly. I so agree, and, you know, you said in your childhood and mine too, and, you know, mine was almost 60 years ago that I was bullied. But, and as you say, you know, I didn't actually even tell my parents because I knew that I would be ridiculed or else they wouldn't believe me anyway.
Exactly. And then there's also the fear of if you do tell someone, if they don't react properly, they could make it worse for you.
Exactly. Well, I was afraid that if I told anybody that the older brother of the little boy that was beating me up would beat me up again also, you know?
Yeah. Right. And then even in situations where, you know, I was on a bus when children were bullying another girl. Now, I knew I was safe from them, but I also was afraid that if I stepped in, then all of a sudden I'd be their target. So that's why everyone shuts up. So we need to tell kids, yeah, you're thinking that, but you know what? The right thing to do would be to stand up to them. The right thing to do would be to take the side of the innocent person being bullied. So we're educating children on how to react in those situations. Because even by being a bystander, you're supporting the bully.
Yeah.
And, you know, which, who knew? You know what I mean? Who knew that would happen? Well, luckily in my case, I did. Finally, I couldn't tolerate it. And I sat next to the girl that was being bullied. And, of course, I was then the target. Well, luckily, when I got off the bus, I had a supportive mom who immediately called the school, and the next day the two bullies were suspended. But, you know, there's not always that many, you know, happy endings to these stories, you know. So,
exactly.
But the more, you know, parents do understand, schools get involved, children know how to react in these situations, the better educated we are, the better we can control and put a stop to this.
There's a program on TV right now, I believe it's called What Would You Do? And occasionally I watch that, and exactly what you had said, you know, there are people that will interfere as what they, you know, and try to stop the, it's actually an act that goes on, but they're really looking to see what will people do, and some will just walk away.
Hey, isn't that, well, especially if you see an adult walk away, I mean, that's very, very concerning.
It is concerning, and, but, you know, as you have said, too, there's so much of this is now coming out, and we're talking about it. And we are talking about a zero tolerance. And eventually I'm hoping that this will change for the sake of the children. It's just, you know, it's just not right. And we have to do the right thing.
I totally agree. And the more we talk about it, the more we bring it up, the more we put it in everyone's ear, the sooner that day will arrive. And, you know, because education really is the best way to explain and help people understand exactly what to do in these situations. I mean, how many children even know how to react in a situation like that?
Right.
So, you know, how many children would even have the courage to stand up to a bully?
Uh-huh.
Well, in many cases, that is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But when do you make that judgment call? I mean, it really, there's a fear of the unknowing because they don't know what's going to happen if they do this. So, you know, when professionals step in and actually, you know, workshop with children and let them do role-playing and bring out common situations and things that occur when, you know, a bully comes in for attack, that is when children learn how to react, and they feel empowered and they feel strong, and they will do the right thing in that situation. So you've got to keep talking.
Exactly, and you certainly have provided a great tool, the book about Tony Chestnut. I mean, how appropriate to start off with the little ones too, you know, and just it's building up self-esteem, really, because quite often, I mean, the bullying is a self-esteem issue.
Oh, yes, yes.
The victim also then ends up having a self-esteem issue also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things that it just gets out of hand. So I'm just really hoping that with all of us talking about it and something being done about it, that things will eventually stop. I'm not sure they'll really stop, but certainly be cut down.
Well, I think the goal is we want to believe that we could put an end to something, and that's, you know, because if you think, well, we'll make it a little bit better, but I mean, if you really focus, there are schools that have put an end to it,
mm-hmm.
and that is the truth, and it's because they already, you know, caught on early that this is important. They put in that zero tolerance into place. They did teach the children. They worked with the parents. Everyone understands it. They get it. It's zero tolerance. You do it, you're out. End of discussion. And so it works. It really does work. I mean, obviously, when it comes to the internet and cyberbullying, that's going to be a challenge.
Yes.
But, you know, in controlled environments such as schools, it can be stopped. And as far as the cyberbullying, I think that's where parents really have to get involved because, you know, that's the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, that is where some of the worst situations of bullying take place that have the worst negative results.
Oh, I've seen some programs, and I'm just, it's appalling. It's appalling. So, Lori, your book.
Yes.
The book about Tony Chestnut.
The book about
South
Tony
Africa.
Chestnut.
South
yes.
Africa, tell us.
Is that not incredible? We've been in touch with some wonderful people in South Africa for many, many years now because they're in love with their music. They're in love with Tony Chestnut. And then when the book about Tony Chestnut was released, we got a call from the Principals Council, and they said we have to bring the Learning Station to South Africa. So they are now on our calendar now where they're holding two different dates, couple of weeks, actually, because this tour is going to be quite extensive
uh-huh.
and it requires planning and obviously extended travel time. And we got the call that we're doing something we've never done before besides having you come in and workshop and keynote your entire music project and the book. We also want to bring you into some of the worst regions of South Africa. And
wow.
He basically said, Lori, he said, these are the places where children walk 15 miles barefoot to school. And that is after they've just taken care of their family who's dying of AIDS. You're going to be in these villages. And so there's no question in my mind. I've spoken to many, many people who have gone on these trips, and they're life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to going there and bringing Tony Chestnut, and hopefully, you know, when we share the story and the music, he inspires these children, we're almost speechless because this is quite an honor to be able to even, just talking about it, I get goosebumps thinking about being brought to, I mean, this was always my dream, first of all, so to have somebody actually invite me to go do my dream is pretty incredible in itself.
Well, I just got goosebumps when you were talking about it, so, I mean, how special is this? This is, you know, to be invited to go to South Africa, I mean, you're talking about going into these places where you know, this is going to be so new to them, so new.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are just going to soak this up.
And you're right. And we found in our 25 years in the children's music industry that when we go to parts of the country or parts of the world where children are really in need of us, the reaction is unbelievable. They absorb every second of what we have to offer. We did Paul Newman's Hole in the Wall Gang Camp in Connecticut, and we did an audience of terminally ill children dying of cancer. And the moment we stepped out on stage, they didn't even wait for us to say it's time to stand up. They were already on their feet. And I don't think they ever sat down. The energy in the room was just huge. I mean, we were feeding off them. They were feeding off us. They were celebrating every second of their life. And, I mean, the camp was awesome to inspire them to do this and offer them so many wonderful opportunities to enjoy life. But this is what you feel when you are with children that really need you. And I know when we get into South Africa, we will be with children who really need us. And, you know, that is really, you know, what it's all about in life. I mean, if you want to ask me why I'm here on the planet, there it is.
You're fulfilling your mission.
Yes.
Yes, you are. And there you go, listeners. We were just talking with Laurie Monopoly and about the book about Tony Chestnut. And just for your information, it also includes a read-along, sing-along CD with the book. It's an adorable book. The illustrations are wonderful. And once you see it, you'll know why it won the book of the year, the children's book of the year for Read Abuse Kids. And again, I want to remind you there's two websites for this book, and it's learningstationmusic.com and also tonychestnut.com. Lori, thanks. This has been an incredible conversation. I know that our listeners are, I don't even know what to say. You've given us so many things to think about and important things, because it's so important to instill into our youngsters at a very, very early age that those random acts of kindness are so important, so important. Thanks for showing up for us.
Oh, thank you. And I'd just like to say there's one more wonderful, kind person on the planet that I want to thank, and that's you.
Oh, thank you. You have been
my mentor, my inspiration, and my voice of reasoning throughout my entire book project. I know how to produce CDs. I've been doing that for 25 years, but the book was all new to me. And I just needed that person in my life every now and then to ask, am I doing this right? And there you were, and you were always there for me. Your editorials are awesome, and I don't think I could have done it without you, to be totally honest. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you. I'm humbled. I'm very humbled. There you go, listeners. The book about Tony Chestnut. We were just talking to Laurie Monopoly. She is the author, and I tell you, it's a great book. So please check it out. This is Irene Watson for Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.